Thank you so much, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, July 30th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe's finance minister says the country is set to ban the importation of shoes and second-hand clothes.
Used clothing and shoes present a health hazard to the citizens, since the goods may be imported without proper fumigation.
President Robert Mugabe has threatened to expel ambassadors from the United States and Britain, accusing them of fomenting anarchy in his country.
These are ambassadors of countries that have sanctions on us. They just want to see chaos, people fighting each other, terrorism everywhere. British and American ambassadors.
And the outrage over the illegal killing of a famous Zimbabwe lion named Cecil by an American hunter, James Palmer, continued across the world today, with more than 137,000 people signing a petition on the White House website calling on the Obama administration to extradite Palmer to Zimbabwe.
In our region here, especially in Zimbabwe, what is endangered species as of the big five is the elephant and the rhino.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa today presented his mid-term fiscal policy, taking measures aimed at protecting local industries and increasing government revenues. The measures include a ban on shoe imports and second-hand clothes from next month. Reporter Ivan Chifera has more.
Chinamasa said despite high import duty, the commodities, some of which posed health threats, a lot was still flooding the local market and affecting the operations of local industries.
This has resulted in a reduced demand for locally produced goods, thereby stifling measures that have been put in place to resuscitate the manufacturing sector. Furthermore, used clothing and shoes present a health hazard to the citizens, since the goods may be imported without proper fumigation.
The minister also increased the surtax charge on imported second-hand vehicles that are more than 5 years old. The move will push the cost of importing the vehicles to almost 100%, as importers also have to pay 40% duty on such vehicles. The minister said the income tax law will be amended to allow for taxation of profit-making business activities of churches and related organizations.
For the avoidance of doubt, tithes and offerings for the benefit of ecclesiastical organizations will remain exempt from income tax.
Chinamasa said there was need for the country to have competitive labor laws, saying the recent Supreme Court ruling that employers can fire workers without terminal benefits came at a crucial time when the country is in the process of reforming its labor laws. He said the labor laws should represent the interests of both the workers and employees.
The law is now being reviewed in the context of protecting the rights of the worker while at the same time ensuring continued survival and viability of businesses.
He said the rigidity of the labor laws is affecting production, adding that several companies that had stopped production, like Zisco Steel, were still accruing labor costs running into millions of dollars. Chinamasa bemoaned government's huge employment costs, which is chewing 83% of its total budget. Cabinet, he said, had taken a decision to reduce the employment budget to 40% of the total budget. He revised revenue projections to $3.6 billion from $3.9 billion owing to the poor performance of the agriculture and manufacturing sectors. The minister expressed concern at increased imports, which went up to $3.1 billion in the first 6 months of the year. Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce President Davidson Norupiri commended the minister's measures, especially on labor and protection of local industries.
Everything is not really to make sure that people suffer, but it's an issue whereby he is trying to kickstart or to revive the economy of the country so that people can start enjoying again.
Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Vusisa Moyo also applauded the finance minister for attempting to protect the local industry from cheap imports. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
President Robert Mugabe has threatened to expel ambassadors from the United States and Britain, accusing them of fomenting anarchy in his country. Sebastian Mofu reports from Harare for VOA.
Late Wednesday, Mr. Mugabe said vendors were resisting calls by authority to leave streets and settle at designated sites. He said the US and British embassies in Zimbabwe were paying vendors to cause chaos in the country.
These are ambassadors of countries that have sanctions on us. So we have said, Vakaramba Vashindaro, we will kick them out of the country. They don't want to see peace in developing countries. They just want to see chaos, people fighting each other, terrorism everywhere. British and American ambassadors, what sort of people are they? Then they are no good for us. Behave and you will be in peace with us. Misbehave and we'll pick you right from the bottom. It's our country.
Relations between Harare and most Western countries became strained in 2002. That was after the United States and the European Union imposed sanctions on the Mugabe government following allegations of human rights abuses and election rigging. Earlier this month, officials in Zimbabwe summoned the French ambassador to Zimbabwe, Laurent Delahousse, after the diplomat had asked President Robert Mugabe's government to look for an activist who has been missing since March. The activist Itai Dzamara disappeared after calling on Mr. Mugabe to step down, saying the president had failed to prop up the economy and respect human rights. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
Reacting to these accusations, Ambassador Bruce Watson brushed aside these claims, telling our correspondent Mavis Gama that his country supports not only vendors but many local communities.
You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C.
And now we bring you Ambassador Watson's reaction to President Mugabe's threats.
We've read in the state media America is being fingered out, being accused of funding organizations like NAVFOOS. What's your comment on that?
Well, as you've seen today, we fund an awful lot of different organizations. Our interests are in supporting economic development in Zimbabwe, social development, health, education. So we support a wide range of projects.
That was U.S. Ambassador Bruce Watson speaking with Studio 7's Mavis Gama in Harare.
The outrage over the illegal killing of a famous Zimbabwe lion named Cecil by an American hunter, James Palmer, continued across the world today, with more than 137,000 people signing a petition on the White House website calling on the Obama administration to extradite Palmer to Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, many people are asking why Zimbabwe is allowing the hunting of lions, which are widely considered an endangered species worldwide. Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo has more.
Conservation activists agree that the wild lion population is declining and that the big cat is now an endangered species. But it's a different story in Zimbabwe, where their hunting is lawful, as long as one can shell out a couple of thousands of dollars, like Cecil killer James Palmer. But just why is Zimbabwe allowing the hunting of an animal facing extinction? Zimbabwe Parks and Wildlife official Geoffrey Matipano explains.
Lions are not endangered species in Zimbabwe, and they can be hunted under, you know, sport hunting. So the other thing is that you need to have a quota. So a quota is set, you know, based on scientific and social, you know, factors.
Matipano's sentiments were echoed by Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Environment, Prisi Mupazhiriwo.
In our region here, especially in Zimbabwe, what is endangered species as of the big five is the elephant and the rhino. The lions, because of the numbers that we have, and the instances of when we have even the hunting, the numbers that would allow, you'd find it has been very low.
Mupazhiriwo pushed back against accusations that the Zimbabwe government has not been sufficiently outraged by the killing of Cecil.
The Parks and Wildlife Authority is seized with this matter. We are actually the complainant in this issue.
Chairman of the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force, Johnny Rodriguez, says it is deplorable that the government continues to allow the killing of lions against evidence that the lion population is dwindling across the world. He adds that his organization will push for laws that declare lions an endangered species in Zimbabwe.
Well, they'll have no option but to change the law, because the thing is, you know, these animals, as you said, are becoming endangered. And, you know, in Africa in 1980, there was 80,000 lions. Today, the closest figure to that is 23,000 left in the whole of Africa.
According to the National Geographic, the lion population in Africa was 200,000 a century ago. But today, there are only 30,000 lions remaining. Elsewhere, about 138,000 people have since signed a petition on the White House website calling on Secretary of State John Kerry and Attorney General Loretta Lynch to fully cooperate with the Zimbabwe authorities and to extradite Walter Palmer promptly at the Zimbabwe government's request. However, Zimbabwe has not indicated it will seek Palmer's extradition. In fact, his name has not been mentioned in court, where an alleged accomplice appeared yesterday and was charged with facilitating the illegal killing of Cecil. A second accomplice is yet to be arraigned. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
Most booksellers exhibiting at the ongoing Zimbabwe International Book Fair, or ZIBF, say they are recording low book sales despite the high number of people visiting Harare Gardens. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more details from the capital.
Mambo Press representative Gift Maduro said it is surprising that sales are low even after slashing book prices.
There are a lot of children's books that is on our shelves. It's going for $1 each.
Another bookseller, Rudo Nyabaza of Priority Projects Publishing Concord, stressing the number of visitors has not yet translated into expected sales.
It's been an exciting and interesting day. It's just started, as you can see. We've had a couple of students coming in from different schools that are looking at the text that we have. In terms of sales, we're yet to see the sales starting to trickle in.
Nyabaza said the low sales can also be attributed to lack of advertising by organizers of the book fair.
I think the event is well organized. I'd love to give credit to the organizers because, as you can see, we do have people coming in. Possibly in the future, we would want to advertise more, so more extensively, on all forms of media.
But ZIBF board chairman Obey Vute said book fairs have been hit hard by low sales in the last few years due to Zimbabwe's harsh economic environment. Vute said the book fair is not mainly to sell books and related material, but to explore new markets and opportunities.
That problem of, you know, reduction in terms of the capacity for people to buy when they come to an exhibition has been evident over the years. And you want to appreciate it with this dollarized economy, things have not been so sound in terms of pocket money.
Econet Wireless in Zimbabwe stand has become the most popular pavilion as it offers an eco-school facility which provides scholars and educators affordable and reliable access to world educational content through their phones. Several activities like workshops are being conducted at the showgrounds. Selous Cornwell Primary School Prefect Ropafadzo Gandari, who participated in a spelling competition, said the fair was fantastic, although she did not make it to the top. 85 Gandari. The ZIBF is running under the theme Growing the Knowledge Through Research, Writing, Publishing and Reading. It is now open to the public until Saturday. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Atash Goriwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
some former female freedom fighters question the continued belittling of their role in the 1970s liberation struggle.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Investigators are trying to determine whether a piece of airplane debris found on a French Indian Ocean island is part of MH370, the Malaysia Airlines jet that mysteriously vanished in March 2014.
The U.S. ambassador to the United States, to the United Nations, says the United States is outraged and disappointed after Russia vetoed a Security Council resolution that would have set up an international criminal court to prosecute those responsible for shooting down a Malaysia Airlines plane over Ukraine a year ago.
Outspoken Chinese artist Ai Weiwei says British authorities have refused to grant him a full six-month business visa, claiming he lied on a visa application form about his criminal record.
India executed Yakub Memon early today for his role in the 1993 Mumbai bombings that killed 257 people.
And a Taliban announcement today formally confirmed the death of its founder, Mullah Omar. The Islamist movement spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid says Omar died of illness but did not explain.
Women and child rights activists today marched to the Minister of Women's offices where they handed over a petition campaigning against early child marriages. Talent Jumo of Katswe Sisterhood, one of the organizations that participated in the march, says they were well received by the new gender minister, Nyasha Chikwinya, who promised to take the petition to higher offices within government to ensure that issues raised are addressed. Zimbabwe will have a national campaign against early marriages in line with a commitment made by the African Union to stop this practice. Jumo speaks with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye on the issue.
As Zimbabwe, we are really concerned that we in Africa are one of the countries that are regarded to have one of the highest prevalence of child marriage. And we believe that we have the capacity to actually end this practice because it destroys lives. Many girls have been forced into marriages and this has had a lot of negative impact in their lives. And this is something that we really feel should come to an end because a lot of girls are being disadvantaged you know, when they get married off into, say, richer families by their parents.
So how were you received when you did get to the Ministry of Women's Affairs and Gender?
The reception was very, welcoming. We appreciate that our new Minister of Women Affairs, Gender and Community Development, Honorable Nyasha Chikunya, received us and received the petition. And she also, you know, reinforced the message that we would like to be communicated to the leadership, to government. And we believe that the Minister of Women Affairs as a department that is responsible for the welfare of girls and women in Zimbabwe are going to take this forward and present it further to the president and other relevant ministry departments.
That was Talent Jumo of Katswe Sisterhood speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare.
The recent passing of outstanding poet, freedom fighter, musician, gender activist, and farmer Tichawana Freedom Nyambaya has reignited debate in and outside Zimbabwe about the ZANU-PF government's apparent lack of care for female ex-combatants. Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira reached out to some female former combatants who are livid that President Robert Mugabe's government continues to belittle their role in the 1970s liberation struggle.
The female former combatants are so angry with the establishment that they are no longer speaking in muffled tones. Writing on a Facebook wall, former liberation fighter Irene Zindi said she was saddened by the passing of her fellow commando, female fighter Freedom Tichawana Nyamubaya. She said, quote, "Unsung heroine, we are many of us, comrade. Yes, I did not attend your funeral, but I am with you and feel exactly that is this what we sacrificed for at that tender age, comrade. Rest in eternal peace, comrade. If we knew..." Then she put question marks, implying if they had known their role in the liberation struggle would be so trivialized and that the independence that they fought for would be enjoyed by the few, then maybe they wouldn't have sacrificed their lives to join the liberation struggle. Nyamubaya, who operated under the command of Air Force Commander Air Marshal Perence Shiri during the war, was 55 when she died. Zindi says true heroes do not come any better than her late comrade, who she says should have been declared a national hero.
If Freedom Nyambaya was accorded a national heroine status, I would have failed part and parcel of that process. And I would have failed like that national heroine status would be like it has been conferred upon me. And I would want to say there are so many of other female combatants out there with similar experiences, whom we thought ourselves as war veterans and as female liberation fighters should have been conferred with the national heroine status. For example, Sheba Tawara Rugisa, she was a member of the high command during the struggle, but when she passed on, she was never recognized along those lines. She was buried back in a home village in Gutu.
Echoing Zindi's sentiments is another former female combatant, Margaret Dongo, who accuses President Robert Mugabe of privatizing the country's national heroes, ACAM.
Because the Tichawana Freedom was an activist, she was an artist, and she was once in politics, she was a political activist, she was in Malambo. So because of that, Mugabe doesn't forgive. You know, to him, for as long as you leave his party, he forgets the role that he has played before in the liberation struggle. And yet, the core objective was to fight and liberate this country. Tichawana Freedom had made a contribution. They should have recognized the role that she has played.
Zindi says the majority of the country's former women combatants are languishing in poverty, with the government not doing anything to assist them.
We will continue to talk about the liberation, the emancipation of women, gender inclusivity in all spheres. We will continue to talk about that, and we will continue to also talk or mobilize in terms of recognition of female combatants along their male combatants, because during the struggle, we all participated on equal basis.
Dongo says it is said that former women combatants are being divided and used against each other, with those seeking an easy way out of life taking the easier route of causing up two senior officials in ZANU-PF to end positions and remain on the gravy train.
Mugabe is dividing us, dividing and rule. For as long as you don't kneel down for him, then you might as well forget your future, even your status actually goes. For as long as you are not part of him. Now, we cannot all be part of him because we don't agree in the style of work anymore. And neither do we agree on what he's doing now.
We also reached out to Florence Ndlovu, another former female combatant who's now based in Chinoy. During the liberation struggle, she was once incarcerated at the Wawa prison. Ndlovu says she did not expect to be rewarded upon coming back from the war because she was sacrificing for her people to be free.
That time we couldn't even think of that because we didn't know whether we were going to come back while alive or whatever. We only wanted to help our people. We wanted to lift up our country and our people because, you know, we used to suffer a lot.
Dongo says the former women combatants are now speaking openly about the continued lack of apparent care by ZANU-PF, the belittling of their role and related issues as they continue to bury their colleagues one by one, with many of them dying in misery. Efforts to get a comment from Chris Muchangwa, the war veterans minister, were fruitless. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
Now, here is an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
According to human rights organizations and Chinese activists, in recent weeks, Chinese authorities have systematically detained, arrested, subjected to forced disappearance, held incommunicado, or questioned and released 169 lawyers, legal staff, and activists involved in peacefully challenging official policies in China. Chinese authorities detained lawyers from several law firms, including six from the Beijing Fengrai firm. The Fengrai law firm handled a number of high-profile human rights cases, including the case of jailed Uyghur scholar Ilham Tohati. The crackdown began on July 9th when Fengrai lawyer Wang Yu disappeared after alerting friends via a text message that her internet connection and electricity had been cut off and that people were trying to break into her home. Wang had represented several clients involved in human rights activism or religious freedom issues, including practitioners of Falun Gong, a religious group banned in China. The firm's director Zhu Shifeng was also detained. He had represented Zhang Miao, a Chinese journalist who'd reported on the Hong Kong democracy protests. Among those who have not been heard from since being detained is well-known lawyer Lu Heping. He represented fellow lawyer and blind activist Chen Guangcheng and helped victims of forced evictions. The United States is deeply concerned that the broad scope of China's new national security law is being used as a legal facade to commit human rights abuses. The U.S. strongly urges China to respect the rights of all its citizens and to release all those who have recently been detained for seeking to protect the rights of Chinese citizens.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk, Women's Roundtable at 8:30 p.m., when our hosts, Praxidus Jeremiah and Marvelous Mthanganya Wiye, will be talking with listeners and experts about child early marriages.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe's finance minister says the country is set to ban the importation of shoes and second-hand clothes.
President Robert Mugabe has threatened to expel ambassadors from the United States and Britain, accusing them of fomenting anarchy in his country.
And the outrage over the illegal killing of a famous Zimbabwe lion named Cecil by an American hunter, James Palmer, continued across the world today, with more than 137,000 people signing a petition on the White House website calling on the Obama administration to extradite Palmer to Zimbabwe.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now, please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Tandekle Mhlanga. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.